Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. Rajiv Escana for immigration.com, Law Office of Rajiv Escana, PC. This is a community conference call that is being recorded. If you do not wish your voice to be recorded, please hang up or don't speak. You may want to keep your identity confidential because this call is being recorded. It is going to be publicly available. Merely participating in this call does not make you our client, nor does it make us your lawyer. It's basically a community information service. With that said, let me get started first on the questions that have been posted. Folks, before I even go any further, I want to point out, since we don't take DV cases, there was a question from an Iranian gentleman about a DV issue. I don't do DV cases. I haven't done one in decades, so I don't know the answer to that question. You may want to hang up now. The first question is from Cruz Pats about a beneficiary who died. Sir, there is a, or ma'am, there is a law. It's called, I think it's called Survivors Act. Survivors Act, INA Section 401. If you do a Google search on Survivors Act or INA, which is Immigration and Nationality Act, Section 401, you should be able to pull out some material. But requirement of the application of a beneficiary having died and yet the green, the applicant or the beneficiary having died and the case still going on, the requirement is that the beneficiary must have been living in USA, as I recall. So it may not help your mom, the situation that she's in, but you can look further into this. And if you have any questions, maybe we can talk some other time. Next question is F-1 stamping after change of status in USA. Came to USA in master's degree, to do master's degree. After completion, went to OPT and then went to H-4. Now, applied for H-4 to F-1 again last month to start PhD, was approved. Husband is currently on H-1B, wants to go to India to get F-1 visa stamping. You should be able to get your stamping because they gave you a stamp earlier. I certainly think that it's a good chance that you will get a stamp of F-1. If they don't, you can always come back on H-4 visa. So you can apply for an H-4, and I think you should be fine. Not any particular kind of documents that I can recommend. I think the F-1 should be given. Next question, Renu DVMR, withdrawn I-140. Have applied for my I-140 and later withdrawn. There was no RFE nor rejected. So the question is, that 180-day deadline after labor cert approval, can I refile my application? You know, I don't remember. There is a memorandum from USCIS that discussed the 180-day. When the 180-day rule came out, USCIS sent out a memo saying 180-day rule does not apply. Labor certs don't expire. If somebody has already filed an I-140 and then USCIS denies it and they are refiling the I-140 for some technical reason based upon the same labor cert, even though the second filing is beyond 180 days of the labor cert approval, we'll still accept it. So in this case, it was a withdrawal. I don't remember that memorandum, but please have your lawyers look it up. You can also check out that memorandum. It came out about the same time when the 180-day rule came out. And if you cannot find it anywhere, go ahead and send me an email through the contact us form. I'm sure I have it lying around somewhere on my computer. I'll forward it to you. Okay. Next question, Dame, H-4 and I-94 expiration. So the question here is this. If somebody files for an H-4 extension while their current I-94 is still valid, what is their status? The answer is they are legal. They are legal. There are three different types of statuses, four actually. But let's say in status, which means having an H-4 fully valid, authorized period of stay, which means H-4 has expired, but another H-4 which was timely filed, like an extension, is pending, you are still allowed to stay in USA. You are not illegal. And then there is out of status, and then there is unlawful status. But for your purposes, if you get your application in the hands of USCIS before the current I-94 expires, you'll be fine. You can stay legally. Next question, Tamil Singham received 1099 miscellaneous. I-485 was in the process, wants to add spouse to 45 application. Received EAD in June 2009, continuing on H-1B. Problem is, on Jan 2010, which is after the EAD, I received 1099 miscellaneous. Well, that's good, because the EAD protects you. The EAD protects you. Okay? So, the 1099 miss should not be a problem, because it came after your EAD was approved. I'm assuming that the EAD is still valid, or was still valid in June. So, I'm sorry, in Jan 1099. I'm 2010. So, if the EAD was still valid when the work was done, I don't see any reason why there should be any issue. But if you worked on these Google sites before June 2009, and if the number of days you worked was less than 180, you may be able to take the protection of 245K. There's some information I don't have on you, but EAD will certainly protect you. And there's something called de minimis violation of law, which means it's such a minor violation that INS can forgive it. The worst case scenario is what? You have to refile your 485. You know, it's not the end of the world. You can add your spouse. I don't see why not. That's the way I look at it. So, anything else I'm missing? Do I need to send my recent tax-related documents? Yes. W-2 and 1099, if it comes, when you file the dependents, you have to file the relevant affidavit of support, which requires tax returns. So, I would suggest that you reveal to the government exactly what has happened, and then let's see what they do. Maximum they can say is, well, your 45 can be denied. There are a bunch of reasons, even though 245K protects pre-filing. This is an open issue whether post-filing 485, 245K continues to protect. I believe government has said it does, but I'm not sure if it has ever been put in writing. So, in any case, 245K should protect you. De minimis violation doctrine should protect you, and if push comes to shove, you can always refile the 485. Precious QT says, I'm a U.S. citizen, petition for my brother, he's on student visa. USCIS approved the petition, but NVC and USCIS is saying that I have to wait for visa number to become available. That is true. You cannot file for adjustment of status until the priority date becomes current. Nothing can be done without that. Next question, Norwich. Is it possible for a company in related fields, related to my experience, to file green card, though they don't hold my H-1B? So the question is, can a future employer, an employer whom I wish to join sometime in the future, file my green card? The answer is yes, as long as they have a good faith intention to process your green card and you have a good faith intention to join them. Next question, Sai for GC. It's a little confusing. I am not certain exactly what happened. Here's what I do understand. I-140 was revoked or denied based upon three-year degree problem. MTR was denied. Appeal also denied in June 29, 2009. Employer B started a second green card. The company applied in April 2008, approved in June 2008. So labor was approved in June 2008. Transferred H-1 to this company, applied I-140, approved in Jan 2009. Okay. I received a letter saying that they reopened my 45 case and now I-45 is showing pending online. They approved EAD and AP, but my dependents case are still showing denied status. See, what is confusing is, did they reopen the I-140? I'm not sure what's going on. But whatever happens to you should also happen for your beneficiaries. I would suggest going to a congressman's office. I don't see what I can do for you. you wanted me to help in this matter, I would probably send you to a congressman's office. Let's have them look into it rather than hiring a lawyer at this stage. I'm not entirely sure what the entire background is. If you want, you can do a brief consultation, 15-minute consultation with me. But I think it's a waste of money because it's fairly obvious that you've got a second green card going, the first green card denied and then reopened. If it is reopened, then the beneficiary's case should be reopened as well. No question about that. So let's get you to a congressman's office. ESK, I'm a U.S. citizen sponsoring sister for green card. She is currently in USA with a valid visa. There is a date of birth problem. Instead of, there's 1 month difference, August 1st and August 15th. Can I still sponsor? Look, at some point, you have to straighten out the record about what her correct date of birth is. Don't let this stop you from filing for her green card. If they have any suspicion about your relationship with her, you can always offer to do a DNA test, which will conclusively establish that you are related. So don't hesitate to file the green card. Allen 321, pending 130, 485, 131 by I-765. I remember this case a little bit. She's on, wife is on L1, and they have filed I-130, 485, I-131, 765, all simultaneously. The typical processing time is 3 months. 485 is about 5 months. What is the legal status in the country? Once the 485 is filed, Ellen, she is in authorized period of stay. She's allowed to stay in USA. She's not illegal. She cannot travel without 131, but once she gets the advance parole, she can freely travel. Because I'm assuming on the date INS received the 485, she was still working on L1. Oh, so she's still working on L1. Yeah, of course. She's fine. She's in good authorized period of stay. She can stay here. She can even travel on advance parole. That's no problem. When is the earliest she can quit her job? She can quit her job anytime, now if she wants to. She can't work until the 765 is approved, as you know. But she can quit her job now. Once the 45 has been filed, received by INS, she can quit her job. Okay. Next question, Raman R. Oh, DV 2011. Sorry, I don't do DV cases, so you don't want my opinion on this case. As Preeti says, I work for Company A, who filed bomb, got laid off, joined Company B, 6 years of H-1B completed September 30th, 2010. 1 year extension obtained based upon previous companies from approval companies. Okay. Am I eligible to process my I-140 in premium processing? Yes, of course. Kindly advise me if it is legal to file I-140 premium. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Pity that law has changed, the law that you are worried about, which used to say, oh, unless your status is expiring within 60 days, we won't do a premium. That has changed. Now, EB2, EB3 premiums, except NIW, I think, I-140s can be done premium. There is no excuse necessary. Okay? So, yeah, it's perfectly legal to file premium. Asif is from Bangladesh, DV, ours is a love marriage. We don't have marriage photos. We got married in 2003. You see, you have a child. When you have a child together, I think that's good evidence of a marriage. And once again, you can always say, if you don't believe the validity of our marriage, you can do DNA testing. This is our child. Next question from 2010 GC. H4 to H1B, while I-140, 45 denied under appeal. Came to USA on H4 in May 2004, got EAD December 2007, started working. I-140, 45 got denied. Lawyers have appealed, are still waiting for the outcome. I've been able to work on EAD. I'm hoping that you are maintaining your H1, H4 status because pendency of the appeal gives you no status, and if the appeal is eventually denied, you would have been unlawfully present for over 1 year. That will bar you from entering USA for 10 years. So if you are maintaining your H1, H4, then you are okay. Because once the I-140/485 is denied, you have no right to stay in USA. So I'm concerned about unlawful presence. And I actually feel that using EAD on a denied I-140/485 is a little aggressive. People do it, but I usually discourage people. I feel that once the I-140 is denied, then the 485 may be considered to be also denied. However, there are some of my colleagues who are more aggressive about their interpretation say, until the EAD is actually revoked or 485 is actually revoked, we can continue working. Different opinions. I like to be conservative. Next question. I-485 RFE, notice of intent to deny for not having an LCA for working at a location other than the employer city. What has happened is, this question is being asked, let's say you were approved for California, work in California, but you are working in New York on an H-1. When you file your green card and you file form GC-25A, you list your employment history. INS catches on to this fact that you were approved for California but working in New York, and they threaten to deny your 485. This person said, well, our office had some cases like that. Well, those cases are still pending. And we were able to explain, and we've tried to make a good case, presented the facts to the government. Let's see how that goes. But no, right now those cases are still pending. Nothing has happened on them. Next question, working for a, this is GC to all, working for a consulting company which holds my labor I-140/485, oh, this company has been audited by DOL, so should I just leave? Well, you see, what can DOL do unless there is a criminal prosecution? DOL can only bar future filings of H-1 and I-140. Future filing. So they will not be able to do your H-1 extensions or file new I-140s. Your I-140 should not be revoked unless there is some fraud. So whether you want to change employers or not, it's totally up to you. And you can do an H-1B transfer. In fact, you should do an H-1B transfer if you are changing employers. Don't just rely upon your EAD. While EAD renewal is pending, can we travel outside and return on AP? As far as I know, yes. We have checked this question with CBP as well as USCIS, and USCIS has very clearly said, if you apply for an EAD while you're in USA, then you leave, the EAD can still go on. You re-enter on your advance parole, you're fine. Okay? Lady M says, I am from Caribbean, was denied EOS under LULAC. I don't know anything about LULAC, ma'am. So I'll try my best to answer your question, but I'm not sure my answer is correct. So the question is, will my previous denial have any bearing on my EOS application? Well, if 245I applies to you, it should be fine. The question is, does 245I apply? Because if I remember correctly, the standard for 245I was that the case must have been approval and filed. So discuss that with your lawyer. But if 245I is applicable, then previous denial should not have any bearing on your EOS application. CVAR says, I was accepted as a refugee in USA. Then I had to go back to my country on a family emergency without travel document. Now I want to go back and do not know how I can get back. Well, there are several questions here, sir, that I don't know the answers to. Our practice is pretty much focused on business, professional, employment-based immigration, H-1s, L-1s, E-1s, investors, employment-based green cards, EP-1s. That's what we do. I don't do refugee cases. I don't do political asylum, DVs. I think what you should do is talk to the lawyer who can guide you better about this. I think there are two issues here. One, because you travel, there is some problem in traveling without getting proper documentation. And the second bigger issue may also be, if you're a refugee and you go back to the same country from which you were running, U.S. government can probably take away a green card. I think, again, I'm not sure about this. Next question, Jonah 18 wants to know, DS-3032, do I need an original or a copy will be okay? I'm not sure what you're talking about, because DS-3032 can be easily recreated. What's the problem there? So, but of course, by the way, NVC is very, very good about responding to emails. You can send them an email. They should be able to tell you whether they're going to accept it or not. Joanna 18, same thing. Okay, I've got a couple of questions left. Changing employer on 8-year H-1B while I-140-45 is under appeal. Is it possible for me to change jobs on my 8th year while I-140 is under appeal? If possible, sure. Currently, my H-1B is getting renewed each year. I've heard the chances of having a favorable outcome from appeal is very remote. That is correct. I wanted to work for another employer till my H-1B is valid and return back to India. Yeah, you can do that. You can transfer even though the appeal was through employer A, the H-1 extension or transfer can be through employer B, no problem. Last question. Tamil Singham wants to know, H-4 to I-130 and eligibility to stay in USA. If an H-1 person who applied for 45 and couldn't add spouse in his application gets green card, and spouse who's on H-4 gets out of status, can they file I-130? Yeah, they can file I-130, but the problem is filing I-130 does not make the spouse eligible to stay in the USA. Okay, in fact, if they continue to stay, they might be accruing unlawful presence once their I-94 expires. And 6 months of unlawful presence, 180 days to be exact, will get you 3-year bar, and 1 year of unlawful presence will get you a 10-year bar. So this is not a good route to take. It might be better for your spouse to wait outside USA. Okay, I'm going to start answering follow-up questions first on that which has already been posted. So if you folks have follow-up questions, now would be the time to ask them. Give me a second. Press *6 to talk with me. *6.
Yeah, hi Rajiv.
One person at a time. Just say your name or make up a name.
This is Tamil Singham. Okay, go ahead.
Singham, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is regarding the 1099 miscellaneous. Actually, I started working for Google. Basically, it is a blog which I have created from my Gmail account, and I enabled Google AdSense on that. I started creating blogs from September 2008.
How much money did you receive totally?
I received around $3,000.
Oh, that's a substantial amount. But it's not a huge amount. I don't know, sir. The problem is, like I said, you can take two arguments. One is 245K protects me. And you did this during what date? The creation of the blog?
The creation of blog is from October 2006. Not on October 2006. From November 2008.
November 2008 to when?
But I enabled that particular Google AdSense money. I started receiving from January 2009.
January 2009.
Exactly on January 12th.
And if I remember correctly, your EAD came in June, right?
Yes, June.
Yeah, there could be a potential issue here, but the worst case scenario is what? You have to refile your 485 or what?
Okay, no, will my wife is on H-4,
mm-hmm.
So will it be an unlawful presence for her?
Unlawful presence does not begin until the I-94 expires or until INS revokes her and your status.
Okay.
So no, unlawful presence is not an issue.
Okay, so in case of refiling 485, the priority date will be new?
Oh, yeah, everything will be the same. No, no, the old date.
Okay.
So, hello, sir. My name is Pradeep.
No, no, just one second, sir. I'm not done yet. Just give me one second. We have plenty of time. Don't worry. You see, Mr. Singham, what I'm thinking is that even the only problem that could be, before you file the second 485, you should have to step outside USA and come back so Section 245K can then kick in and protect you. So keep your H1 and H4 valid, okay?
Okay, I am still continuing on my H1, H4.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's the way to do
okay,
it.
Okay, so should I go out and come in just for sake of this?
The problem is, here's what I'm wondering. Would INS consider you to have also violated your H1 status and hence make your H1 invalid? So really, if you want to do it right, you have a visa stamp on your passport or not yet?
No, not yet. So if I go out, I need to go for the visa stamp.
Yeah, if you go get your visa stamping and come back, I think you are better protected.
Okay.
You are better protected for future filing. Not for this purpose, but for future filing.
Okay, got you.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Raju, this is Vivek, Preeti Satran.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir. Actually, thank you for your advice for premium processing, I-140 premium processing. She could not join the conference, but I have follow-up questions.
Sure.
So can an individual apply for I-140 anytime after firm approval, so there is no 60-day rule anymore?
It's first of all, once the labor cert is approved, they have to file the I-140 within 180 days. But there used to be a 60-day rule about, unless your H1 is expiring within 60 days, you can't get premium. That rule has been done away with. Anybody can apply for I-140 premium, except for, I think, national interest waiver and extraordinary ability alien. But all other I-140s can be filed premium.
Okay. Because her situation is in such a way that her 6 years will be expiring September 30, 2010. However, her 7 years will be expiring September 30, 2011. So if she applies, if I-140 is applied before September 30, 2010, but approved after September 30, 2010, which is after 6 years, can she still be able to extend her H-1B visa in three-year increments after I-140 approval?
Absolutely, because her H-1 is still valid till 2011, right?
Okay, so because what I know, what we heard and what we read on the internet is that only a person, I know that there is no rule anymore, but a person should be eligible for I-140 premium processing only if he applies within the 6 years. But
there is no such law that I have ever heard of.
So even we can apply it even though her H-1 is in seventh year also, we can still go ahead and apply for I-140 premium processing, is it?
Yes, sir, you can.
Okay, sir, one last question is that, so can we find something like this in writing, because her company is a very, very small company, like 10 employees, and they don't know the rules, and they are giving her a really hard time. So if you can find something like an article or a memorandum, that would be really great, Mr. Rajiv.
I do not believe there is anything.
Okay. For I-140 premium processing, how much do they charge?
$1,000.
Okay. Okay, Rajiv. So you are advising that even though she's in seventh year, she can still go ahead and apply for I-140 premium processing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, great, sir. Thank you so much.
You
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Good luck.
Hi, Rajiv.
Hello, sir. My name is Deepak.
Deepak, go ahead.
I'm calling regarding my wife, and thank you for your advice. We got our EAD in 2007.
Deepakji, one second. You have not posted a message on the forum, right?
My wife has 2010 GC.
Oh, okay. Then go ahead, please.
Yeah, and she's been working on EAD since 2007, and my 140 and 485 got denied, and is under appeal. And she has been working on EAD since then, and her EAD is expiring next month. And her employer is ready to do her H-1. But we want to know if her employer...
Hang on one second. Let me understand something. When the I-140 45 was denied, were you still maintaining your H-1, H-4 status?
Yes.
Good. Then
the employer can apply for an H-1, no problem.
But her green card under my application would still continue? Or?
Absolutely. Just because a dependent converts from H-4 to H-1 has absolutely no bearing on their ability to get their green card through you.
Okay. And she doesn't have to leave the country if she transfers from H-4 to H-1 or anything like that?
If she has been maintaining good status, absolutely not. Why?
Okay. And in my case, I had another posting too. In my case, you know, I was planning to leave my employer since my 140 is still under appeal. What happens if I leave my employer right now and the appeal becomes positive or something? Or can my employer...
You can come back and rejoin the employer. By the way, if the appeal is successful, your 485 would then have been pending more than 180 days. So you'll be entitled to AC-21 also.
Right. Right. But if it gets rejected, then I have to leave the country and go back, right?
Unless you can get H-1 on any other basis.
H-1 on any other
basis. What you can do is you can actually start a second green card through the second employer. So after 1 year of that, you can get H-1 extension based on that.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, sir. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Go ahead,
hi,
ma'am. Yeah?
Okay, hi. This is Angana. I have a question about the student visa, F-1.
Right, H-4 to F-1, right?
Yes, that's right.
So I don't see any
problem with it, Angana. I mean, the only thing I'm afraid of is if they ask me questions on, like, saying that, you know, your husband is an H-1B and then now you have transferred back to F-1, so you guys intend to pay back.
F-1
now, but then I have my scholarship and stipend. What's up, Sabandho, or like H-4 page?
You can't be guaranteed everything in life. But the fact that you can go from an F-1 denial to an H-4 right away is a gift. Now,
yeah,
let me pose another hypothetical to you. So what if you came back on H-4 and then applied for an F-1 again?
Another change of status?
Why not?
You sure? I mean, they won't. Now, so they'll definitely think that I have plans to stay back.
Please stay back. Your plans to hang, that is obvious. After all, you are married to an H-1 holder. Of course, I have plans to stay back. The more important question is, would I obey the law or not? If the law says leave the country, would I do it or not? The answer is absolutely.
Yes.
I'm not going to start working as an illegal person in USA. I will leave if the law asks me to leave. But if you ask me, is it my intention to eventually stay in USA? Sure, if the law permits me to.
Okay, because, see, then the other thing is, if I tell them that, my husband is on H-1, and the thing is, he has started his green card, but it's not even reached the I-140 stage, so he's pretty much, like, the labor hasn't been cleared yet.
Angela,
so,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If the consulate asks you, straight out, miss, do you want to stay in USA forever? What is the answer to that?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Truthfully, what is the answer to that question? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then that's what the answer should be. But the only thing I would add to that, as a matter of clarifying, and I think it is also the truth, yes, if the law permits me to. But if the law says leave USA, I am not going to stay in USA illegally, sir. You can take it to the bank.
Okay. So, and you are, like... Since I'm applying, so I have to like go in and apply for a completely new F-1, right? When I go back, so I have to show financial documents to my parents and my in-laws.
Basically, whatever the F-1 requires, your school should tell you exactly what you need to carry. Typically, there should be proof of funds, etc. Whoever helps you prepare the I-20, after all, they issue you I-20 only after they're convinced that you have enough money. So you should carry the evidence with you.
No, but in this case, I didn't have to show any money, right? Because my...
No, because you have a stipend from the... Yeah, then...
Exactly. Exactly. It's all sponsorship.
If you look at your I-20, I think it contains a calculation of what the funds are.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So that's all right. That's fine.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Venkat.
Hi, Venkat. How are you?
Fine, sir. I have a big question. Just...
Have you posted?
I sent an email to the contact.
Okay, sit tight for a second. Let me just make sure nobody else is here. I'll answer your question, don't worry. Let me just make sure that people who have posted are dealt with first. Guys, anybody who's posted a question? I think they're all done. Venkat, go ahead, please.
Okay. Yes, sir. I came to US on a L1 B visa, sir, and I converted to H1. I came in 2007 and I converted in 2008. Since then, I am working for the H1 employer. My H1 employer took the L2 B to H4. The conversion documents, that is I-539
for your wife?
Yeah, for my wife and son.
Okay, L2 to H4. Okay, got it.
Yeah. And he said he has filed it. And 4 months back, he said that they have been approved. But since then, I am following him on email, but now he is saying that he is not able to contact his attorney, and his attorney is not at all responding to his emails. He is asking me to go back, send my wife and son to India and get H4 stamps.
Oh my God, no. If they have been here past 180 days after their I-94 expiration, there is a problem already. Send them out, they can't come back for 3 years. And if they have been here for 1 year past I-94, they cannot come back for 10 years.
Okay. Their L2P I-94 expires in October 1st, 2010, sir.
Then we are okay. Go send them to India to get their H4 stamp. They are fine.
I mean, assuming
that the L1 was never revoked by the employer, right?
That I don't know, sir.
You can double-check that, because if the L1 was revoked, there is some question whether they would be subject to 10-year bar or not. My guess still would be that they should not be.
Okay.
So why don't you do this?
Yeah.
Go ahead and contact the employer. If the employer says they revoked the L1, you may want to send me an email through the contact us form. I'll give you a call back. There's no charge for that.
Yeah. Actually, can you take up my case?
There's nothing to take up yet. Venkat, don't be in a hurry to spend your money. I'll take your money when the time comes. Right now, I don't need to. Okay? I'm trying to see if it's even needed. Don't worry. If there is a problem, I will be there. You don't have to worry about it. Just 1 second. Venkat, so what I want you to do is just contact the L1 employer. Ask them if they ever revoked your L1. If they say no, send the baby and the wife to India, no problem. Get them H4 stamping and come back. If there's any problem, you call me.
I mean, since I have converted to H4, H1 in 2008 itself...
That's no problem. They're still protected. As long as they have a valid I-94, they are still protected. Only time it gets into a gray area is if the L1 was revoked.
Yeah.
Okay. So find that out, please.
Yes.
Alright, good luck.
Hi Raju, can you hear me?
This is Preeti's husband, Vivek.
1 second. Rajiv. Hello. 1 second, guys. Venkat, you're done, right? No, nothing else?
Yes.
Good luck to you. Okay, the guy who said, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi Raju, this is Sai.
Yes, Sai, go ahead.
Yeah, I was on mute actually. I was trying and I was on mute, so I couldn't able to speak to you.
Star 6 is what you have to do. Okay.
Yeah, I did it now.
Okay,
so my question number is number 9.
Yeah, I remember talking with you earlier also. So
yeah, previous sessions, yeah. Right. So now the latest development is that when I call them, they say that reapply. So
wait, I'm a little confused about your facts.
Okay.
You had an I-140 485 through employer A.
Yes.
It was denied, then put in appeal. You moved over to employer B. In the meantime, now that first appeal has been successful?
No, that was not successful, but... before approving the second 140, they called my attorney and they say that, okay, is this guy still in H1 or is in US? So they asked me all the details, so I sent all the documentation. Then the same, luckily the same officer was looking into the same file, like old and new one. So he took all the information and he told that, okay, I'm going to deny the old one because of mismatch and all that things. I'm going to approve the new one. And he also sent me a letter saying that we are reopening your 485.
You know, I am not sure what's going on here.
Okay.
But as far as I understand, and I think I mentioned that to you before, USCIS understanding is this. If before your I-140 is revoked, you file a new I-140. If the I-140, the old I-140 is revoked, the 485 will be attached to your new I-140. The requirement is only that before the I-140 denial or revocation, you filed a second I-140.
Right. The second one is approved before the old one denied.
Oh, if the second one is approved before the old one was denied,
right,
they are doing the right thing.
Okay.
So, and now the question is about your wife and child.
Yes.
Go to a congressman's office. Tell them to get them off.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And the third question.
By the way, if you want to know how to do it, go to immigration.com and then just type the word congressman and hit search.
Okay. And only one question, the last one. Based on the present status of my case and history, can I invoke the AC-21? Because where I'm working, they're offering me a job. So
yes, sir.
Can. I can do it? Oh, okay. Sure. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hi, Rajiv.
This is Vivek.
Sorry, guys.
One second. Sorry, Rajiv. One more question. So here, if I join with AC-21, how about my dependent status?
It's still good.
Because they're on H4, because their 485 is not reopened.
Why don't you wait until the congressman finds out?
Okay, that's okay.
Because they are very quick about this. When the congressman writes or calls them, they get you an answer within a couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, thank you very much.
Hi, Rajiv.
Sorry.
I have posted a request for a H4 and I-94 expiration.
Ma'am, just remind me what your case is.
My I-94 is getting expired on October.
Okay.
And my husband's company is yet to file my H-4 extension.
Okay.
So, is it like...
I already answered that question.
The follow-up question is actually, I had a H-4 with my husband's company A.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he was in company A when my first H-4 was filed.
Right.
Now he's in company B. So is it like transfer?
What happens is, H-4 does not depend upon your husband's employer. So let's say you have a valid H-4 and your husband has always maintained status.
Okay.
If the husband changes jobs 5 times, H-4 does not have to be changed. So you're fine.
So is it, Rajiv, I mean, I'm good to go here even if my H-4 is on company B's H-1 extension. Is that fine?
Actually, your H-4 carries no company's name. Okay?
Okay.
It's your husband's H-1 that carries that name. As long as he maintains status, he's not out of status, no matter how many companies he changes, your H-4 is good till the duration of the approval.
Okay, so I don't have to go out of the country to, you know, to make my I-94 valid or something like that. Till I get the approval.
Do you want to take a trip to India? If you want to take a trip to India and your husband is going to listen to this recording, I will lie for you and I'll say, oh yes, you have to go outside. But if you don't want to take a trip to India, you don't have to.
Okay, thank you, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Rajiv, this is Vivek, Preeti's husband. Sorry, I forgot to ask you one last question, Rajiv.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you, Rajiv. Thanks for this. Actually, her, just to give you a little background, her 6 years will be completed September 30, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 years, she got extension for 1 year, 7th year through a different employer,
right,
till September 30, 2011.
Right.
Now, she will be requesting her company for I-140 premium processing.
Sure.
And you already mentioned that. But just in case, if they do not allow or if they say that, no, we will do a regular processing, and if she applies her I-140 regular processing in 6 years, can she get, after its approval, can she get... 3 year extension, H1 on H1.
Yes, sir. There is no question about it.
And what if they apply in the 7th year and it gets approved in the 7th year?
She still can get her 3 year extension, yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rajiv. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Rajiv. Lady, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I know you said you don't do LULAC.
No, I don't know anything about LULAC. You see, for 245i, if 245i applies to you, there is no problem. The fact
okay.
that your case was denied earlier, I don't see any issue. You didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, I find it very controversial because some say that after that kind of denial, there's no room for AOS.
See, I don't know about 245i applicability because the reason is, if I remember correctly, the law says your previous case should have been approvable and filed, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
And if it was not approvable, then maybe there is some issue whether 245i protects you. By the way, your second green card is through your spouse or through whom?
No, I think you must have me mixed up with somebody else.
You are filing another green card, right? 245i?
Yes. I'm the derivative beneficiary, my husband.
Oh, sorry, derivative beneficiary. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if you were getting married to a U.S. citizen, then there would be no problem. But I'm not sure about 245i, ma'am. I'll have to look up the law. But if 245i applies, then there is no issue.
Okay.
That's
it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Next question. Anybody?
Rajiv, can I ask you a follow-up question also?
You certainly can.
Yeah, this is Sai. Thanks for your help.
Sure.
And here, because the latest portion of this is that when I spoke to IO, at UCIS about this one. So they told me to send all the documentation what I submitted during 2007.
Yeah, no, I read that and then, you know, after that nothing has happened. So just call.
Yeah, they sent me a rejection letter.
Yeah, I saw that. Contact your congressman.
Okay, so Congress here have one dilemma, whether senator or a congressman.
Yeah, senator or member of House of Representatives doesn't make a difference.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Rajiv, this is Anuj.
Anuj, bolo.
Yes, sir. A question regarding what my status, let me tell you. Well, my company applied for my H-1 in December 2009. And my H-1 was approved when I was outside the country. When they applied, I was inside working for them, but then I had to go for an emergency trip outside.
Hang on. Were you already on H-1? Was it an extension?
I don't know what you call it. Yeah, it was an extension. Not an extension. I was still below my 6 years.
No, wait. Were you on H-1 when you left the U.S.?
Yes, I was on H-1 when I left.
It was an extension of H-1 status. You
yes.
were not on F-1 or H-4.
No, not a change of status, no.
Okay, so you left while the extension request was pending and then you came back.
Yeah, and while I was abroad, my H-1 was approved, but I didn't have the documentation like the original letter from USCIS.
Okay.
So when I came in, they stamped my I-94 only till my old stamp, old visa stamp. They did not give me till 2012, which was my new I-94 validity.
All right.
So now I don't know, my I-94 stamp is only valid till October 2010, which corresponds to my visa date.
Let me tell you what the practical solution is.
Yep.
The practical solution is go to Canada, get your visa stamped, and come back and get a new I-94.
Okay.
Theoretically, there are two schools of thought. One school of thought says, you're okay till 2012. The other school of thought says, no way, he has gone after 2010.
Well,
unless he applies for an H-1 extension.
Is that because you're saying of this last action rule thing? Because
I spoke with one of the most senior lawyers in USCIS a couple of years ago, and she was saying, we have never understood where this so-called last action rule came in. It does not exist in any book.
Okay. But no. Will I be out of status after my I-94, current I-94?
I don't want to experiment with that. There is some law that says, no, you are not. That other I-94 is still good. But why take a chance? I told you the practical solution.
Okay,
huh?
Better to go to Canada before that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I have a second question. This is regarding, I don't know if you can answer this, this is regarding Department of Labor perm thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading on their, you know, the new iCert web portal that... They are currently doing cases that were filed in December, but I don't know, some of the attorneys say that they have been able to get approval on cases which they filed like a couple of months back. Now, I don't know how...
We've just gotten approval in 3 months. Yeah, it's happening in some cases, but some other cases are still taking 2.5 years.
Oh, okay, so there's no any correlation.
The mind of the Almighty, the government's mind is inscrutable. Nobody knows what they're doing.
Oh, okay. So the state then actually is, you know, just, I mean, I don't
it's
know what...
It's a rough estimate. It's a guesstimate. That's all it is.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Thanks. That's it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Folks, anybody else has any questions for me? Very good. It's been good talking with all of you. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.